The conference is now being recorded.
Morning. This is Tashi and Gloria. What we're going to do is place the call on conference mute. We do ask that each of you mute your phones so that we can minimize the background noise. And we will place this call on conference mute at such time that question and answer session is open. We'll unmute the phone to allow you the opportunity to ask any specific questions. At this time, the call is being recorded, and we will have the call available upon request for further questions and answers. At this time, we'll place the phone on mute.
Is anyone out there?
Yes.
Yes, this is Palm Beach State College.
Did the state disappear again or what? This is Yolanda from Collier.
I think the state disappeared again.
I think they muted themselves as opposed to muting us out here.
You're right.
Yes, Yolanda, we don't hear them either.
Oh, boy.
Can you hear us now?
Hello?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Thank you. At this time, we'll go ahead and get started with our Spring 25 provider conference call. And just some general comments or housekeeping, please place your phones on mute. If your phone has this capability, for it will reduce background noise. So we'll go ahead and get a roll call for today's call. If you like, what I'll do, I'll call out your name, and you can let us know who's present for your agency. The first agency is ACE of Florida. Gallery Boyd, are you present with us? What about Collier County?
We're here.
Yes, we're here.
Present with you for Collier County. Who's your representative?
Dale Johnson.
Dade County. Anyone present for Dade County? Palm Beach State College?
Ginger Peterson?
Thank you. Pasco County? Anyone present for Pasco County? Daytona State College?
Yes, we're present. This is Katrina Bell.
Manatee County.
We're present. This is Doug Wagner.
At this time, we'll go ahead and get started. And on November 21st, everyone should have received the memorandum, which detailed the items that will be needed or needed for today's call, as well as the items that will be needed for the actual visit during the spring. And you all should have also received the PowerPoint that we're going to use today. The objectives of today's conference call, just in general, just going to give you an overview of information needed for the spring for fiscal year 2014-15. In regards to, we're now on slide 4, fiscal years and programs monitored. We will monitor years 2012 through 13 through the current. As far as grant programs to be monitored, we will look at your adult ed as well as your Carl D. Perkins. Topics that will be covered on today's call are before you. And we're moving on to slide 6.
Most importantly, with that list, we just want you to review some of the things If you have participated with us before in the conference, in the monitoring process, you will note that you will have several conversations with staff here at the department prior to us actually coming on site. As you are aware, we talked about this at many of our conferences. We've conducted a thorough risk assessment, and from that risk assessment, we identified our team of on-site monitoring visits and or desktop monitoring visits that we will conduct in the calendar year. So this slide particularly shows you some of the topics that we'll cover in this presentation and how the flow will go for the on-site monitoring visit. I strongly encourage you, if this is your first time being a part of this process, to look out on our website. We post each and every one of our monitoring visits on our website, as well as contact some of your colleagues that have experienced this process before, and make sure that they can that you can ask them questions regarding this particular process. Again, this process is more inclusive, supportive, technical assistance in nature, as well as reviewing our policies and procedures to ensure that those things that we agreed upon in our application process, that we are coming out to do a slight review of those and make sure that we're all following policies and procedures. The next slide here will give you a visual of the great people that are working here in the quality assurance team.
Thank you, Gloria. We're now on slide 7. Why do we monitor? Not because you're in trouble, necessarily, but at the top of the list, you'll see it is a requirement that both the state and federal levels be monitored. And you'll see here, we have federal and state requirements, as well as accountability, program, and fiscal. We want to make sure that you are following all of the necessary guidelines, you know, that we have to follow here in the department. What we come out and do to you all is what the federal government does to you. So we want to make sure that everyone is basically following the same sets of rules and instructions. It is an opportunity for needed corrections, if needed, as well as to basically boast and brag on the numerous programs that we visit while out in the field. What is our way of work? It is based on a project risk that we will cover a little later in this presentation. It is collaborative in nature. We do work with you. We ask that you work with us. We're not into, basically, we like to say, use the term saying the gotcha approach. We're not out to see that you're necessarily doing bad things. Ultimately, we want to see that you are following systems and processes so that we can basically run an efficient program. It does recognize positive practices that we will mention later on in these presentations, as well as it identifies and communicates findings and concerns that we will touch on a little later. It also supports continuous program improvement. At the end of the day, we want your programs to succeed. Quality assurance vision. The development, design, and implementation of a strong risk-based quality assurance system is a priority of our division. And with that being said, services are being provided according to the terms of the grant and the accountability of the funds. We would like to make sure that they are transparent through the life of the grant. The ultimate purpose of the quality assurance and compliance monitoring system is to assure financial accountability, program quality, as well as regulatory compliance. In regards to the years monitored, we will monitor the 2012 to 2013 year through the county, through the current. As far as operational risk factors, there are 6 metrics that we use, and they're housed on the risk matrix. And a few of them, actually they are, the number of grants, the total amount of your agency funding, the number of grant funds remaining, the program improvement plan, which is one of our new enhancements that we'll touch on a little later in some of the following slides, audit monitoring findings, the change in director, and of course I mentioned the program improvement plan. This is our new element that we've added to our risk system, and we'll touch on that in future slides as well. We're moving to slide 11. 2014-15 quality assurance enhancements. We've enhanced our current system to include the Perkins Program Improvement Plan Index. The risk score was actually divided into quartiles, and then we ultimately end up using a balanced weight to compute the different data elements. And as you can see from the little chart below, it starts with zero being our lowest tier, and we move up to level 7, which is our upper quartile and higher. And I'll explain those a little more in detail for you. The lower quartile represents the 25th percentile. And the lower middle quartile, which is 3, this represents the 50th percentile. The upper middle quartile, which is 5, this element contains the 75th percentile, and the upper quartile, which is the 7, is the maximum value. So once you receive your actual final report, everyone will have a detailed chart that will basically list and show you where you fell in our current RIT system. Calculation of the RIT score is very simple. It's the point value, you have the point value assigned, which is multiplied by the weight, which will give you our total metric point. The sum of all of these metric points will give you the actual agency RIT score. Before you, we're on slide 13 now. Slide 13 basically summarizes all of the elements that will be used to calculate your RIT score. If you look in the first column here, we have the metric, which basically summarizes all of your, it lists all the categories that will be used in your RIT system. The scaling is what I just touched on in the previous slide about the various levels of your quartiles. And the third column is your point value. This actually coincides with the actual scaling. And if you move to column 4, this is your point value assigned. And if you look at this point value assigned, you notice to the right of you have the weight. This value is multiplied to give you the actual total metric point. And once this computation takes place, if you look at the very bottom of your slide, the bottom of column 6, you have your actual agency risk score. It's a tally of all of these elements that will give you the ultimate risk score. And, of course, if you have any questions or concerns regarding this, we'll be free to share them with you and even provide any level of detail that you may require. And as stated prior, this chart will be summarized or included in your final report. We move to slide 14, the actual risk assessment process. Although 2012 and 2013 data was used for the risk assessments for monitoring business this fall, the overall monitoring will cover additional years, 13, 14, up through the current year, 2014, 15. Occasionally, we will monitor additional programs, out in the field, especially in your geographical areas, so that we can be more efficient and basically make better use of the travel funds. But for the spring, our plans will include the following. One important fact I must mention, oftentimes when we let an agency know that they've been targeted for monitoring, everyone tends to panic. We don't want you to panic. A high risk score assessment score should never be interpreted as a negative reflection on the provider. For example, the allocation of $1 million carries significantly more risk than one with $1,000, as well as a seasoned director. A seasoned director presents less risk than one that's new to the responsibilities of a division or a particular agency. So technically, the higher the number of the grants the provider administers, the higher level of risk. So this is nothing to be alarmed by. It's actually a great thing. Providers with the highest risk major score may be targeted for on-site monitoring. If the target provider was an agency with CTE or career and technical education services, we also monitored adult education services and vice versa. This will enable us to reach a greater number of grants and providers and be more efficient with travel and time. If a provider has a high risk score and they were targeted for monitoring in the previous or the 2014-15 year, we will look at other years as well. And I'm going to cover a few other monitoring strategies moving forward, but I must mention various monitoring strategies are implemented based on the level of risk that an agency has as well as their assigned. And we're now on slide 17. Targeted providers for spring 2015 are listed here. If you notice that there are a total of 7 providers that have been targeted for on-site monitoring, and they have been notified at this point. So you would have received a memorandum on November 21st along with the PowerPoint that you're viewing on today. The monitoring process. There are a number of strategies that we use during our monitoring process. The first one being the pre-visit or on-site and post-visit activities. This also includes records and data reviews on all levels, direct observations of classrooms, facilities, interviews, whether in-house or out in the field, a series of phone calls. Matter of fact, you will receive a call shortly after today's monitoring presentation from your DOE contact or representative. And this is just a series of the many phone calls that you'll receive throughout this process. We use emails, referrals, resolution plans for our corrective action plans, which include findings. And we also use action plans for our level of concerns. And generally, we'll give you up to a year. Ideally, we'd like to see them close within a year from the time that they were issued, but oftentimes it may take a little longer. But we will work closely with you to make sure that these issues are resolved in a timely process. And of course, if you have any questions or concerns, we ask that you contact us, you know, as you need. Pre-visit activities continued on slide 19. I mentioned the memorandum. This was the initial notification, you know, which deals with your personal correspondence. And also your superintendent or president would have received a formal notification letter, which you will also copy on November 21st. Conference call, training for the providers, which you all are experiencing here with us today. Team leader coordination with DOE team leaders. As stated, you will receive a call from the appropriate team lead in regards to your upcoming visit. At this time, we will basically coordinate the visit, lay out all of those detailed logistics as far as scheduling, interviews, you know, getting rosters, and it's a great time for you all to ask questions and for us to provide you with any of the necessary information that will make and basically give us a smoother transition into your monitoring season. Moving to slide 20, information required. In your memorandum, you will notice that there were a list of items that we asked you to have available once we arrive on site that will basically aid in a more smoother visit. We ask that you provide us with an organizational chart so that we'll understand the flow of your organization, a list of your administrative staff with duties relevant to the grants, including location as well as contact numbers. It's very helpful when we visit different sites. We have a person that we can refer to or ask questions. Or if there's an emergency or anything, we can have a, you know, contact. If available, a map of the district, county, including locations of program sites. We ask you for this because when we're developing a schedule, it's kind of helpful for us to know geographically where your programs are located so that we won't be basically going from the top to the bottom of the county or vice versa. We want to make this process run as smoothly as possible. We ask for a list of all adult ed and CTE program sites, including the name, address, and zip code, a director, principal director name, and contact phone number, hours of operation. As mentioned, you know, emergencies sometimes arise, and it's great to have someone that you can contact. And not only that, when we visit you, we have a we use the GPS oftentimes, and we found that having the zip code, you may have the same, one program may have two different, the same name. And if you have that zip code to kind of distinguish the two, it really saves time and helps us avoid confusion. And also, we get to you in a timely manner. Agency's list of documents for adult and CTE that are required to be considered in or contained in a student's record, we ask that you provide these items to us once we get there, relating to attendance, you know, different community service that they may be participating in throughout this process.
And as you can see for our on-site activities, we would have coordinated all of the scheduled activities prior to arrival. As Tashi mentioned, it kind of breaks up into a three-part process. We have those pre-activities where we're doing a lot of planning, conversations with you all. And then we have the on-site phase where we're actually conducting our entrance conference, meeting some of your leadership there at your organization. That will consist of some interviews with various key stakeholders there at your agency, from administrators to teachers, students, staff. We'd like to go out and do some observation in some of the actual classrooms. We're using your application that you submitted to the department as our guide.
We're using your state plan. We're using your updated application for all those programs that you listed that your particular college and or district offers. So we're excited about getting out there and looking at those best practices, looking at those actual operations. When you're sitting here in Tallahassee and you're looking at an application and you see that a simulation piece of equipment is purchased, and then when we actually get on site and we can see that piece of equipment, we can see that student is actually using that equipment, it really brings the whole process to full circle. So we're excited about looking at some of the classrooms and actual processes there at the local level. We also will be looking at student records. Again, we're interested in looking at what did you say you were going to do in regards to your budget related to this federal program. We're looking for your personnel services. Are some of your employees split funded? Some are charged with the federal dollars, and others may be non-federal dollars. We're looking for your personnel activity report. We're looking for your certifications that indicate whether or not that employee is a full-time charge to the federal program or split fund. We're also looking at data. Data is a very important piece because, as we referenced with our conversation earlier, we have introduced a new element this year, which would be the Perkins Program Improvement component. So therefore, specifically those programs that are currently in a program improvement plan status, we will be coordinating with our local staff here, Amy Albee and her staff, to ensure that those programs are actually implementing those strategies that you stated in the submission of your program improvement plan. If you have not, you will soon get a more detailed document from Dr. Albee and her staff regarding a more intensive review of data and specifically the program improvement plan. So we will coordinate a program improvement plan review. In past visits, we've held a conference call. So in that post-planning, when you're working with the DOE staff, we'll probably coordinate a conference call back here to Tallahassee with our data folks to actually go over the program improvement plan to validate and document that you've implemented those strategies that you stated in that plan. Real important, the equipment inventory. We strongly, strongly know and support our programs purchasing equipment to enhance instruction. But with that, there's accountability. Specifically in our EGGR, currently, there's a list of processes and data elements that must be maintained when you are purchasing equipment items with federal funds. So we'll go over that information with you. We'll expect, once we're on site, that you would be able to provide us with a comprehensive summary of those items that are tagged, labeled, and specified according to our federal specifications. We'll also allow an opportunity for you at the local level to provide any additional information, support, if you want to show us some of your business partnerships that help support the implementation of your program. And lastly, we'll have an exit conference. And during this exit conference, we will be able to give you some preliminary information if we have located any question costs or if we've located any documented findings. We will be able to give you what we call preliminary information. As many of you would know, we would have to come back to the office to really review all of the records and documentation to produce what we are calling our final report. But I will add that during our visit, if we identify a specific concern and or documented finding, and you have an opportunity to correct that information while on site, we strongly encourage that. Later in the presentation, Tashi will share with you some of those common things that we find during our visits. So So we ask you to take heed to those and begin to look at those common items so that when we come out to visit you in the spring, that we will minimize some of those concerns.
We're now moving to slide 22. In regards to the first day, we've asked that you have available any records from the 2012-13 year, as well as the 13-14 through the current, as well as your policy handbooks for employees as well as students. And we ask that you not make any copies. Oftentimes when we go out to the field, we walk in rooms, they have tubs and tubs and tubs of information. We'd rather you not do that. There are more important things that you could be doing with your time. So we do ask that you not do that. And if anything, if we need something from you, we will request it. Once again, in regards to records, we ask that you give us information related to your attendance policies, your website, information relating to your recruitment efforts, general policies and procedures, as well as information regarding your advisory committee boards. And this includes any meeting notes, various meetings that you may have within that may include students, any business industry type providers. These items will aid and basically provide for a better visit as well. First day continue. Just talking a little more about those recruitment activities and materials. This includes brochures, any type of marketing materials that you may use for your program, written criteria, policies regarding non-discrimination postings. But I'm going to touch on the non-discrimination policies a little later in the presentation. Financial policies and procedures. This is any information relating to travel, any purchase, in-county, out-of-county, equipment supplies, data procedures, as Gloria touched on early in the presentation. And once again, this inventory of equipment. This is a major component for our visit. We want to see how the funds are used, ultimately. We want to make sure that they're being accounted for in the appropriate manner. I touched on maps a little earlier. That's a very big item there, and we ask that you continue to provide those things for us. Alert the staff for our visit. Oftentimes, we arrive at sites, people don't even know that we're coming, and we don't want to alarm anyone. We don't want to be a distraction. So if you could give them a heads up to kind of let them know that the DOE monitoring staff will be present, we find that it aids for a smoother visit as well. Not only that, we don't want to create a tense environment. We want them to be prepared ultimately. In regards to food and drink, we appreciate all the warm hospitality that you all extend to us. But we have ethics rules that we must follow. So if you provide food and drink for us, we will have to pay you for it. So we just ask that you be flexible and understanding. We don't like to offend anyone, but it's just the rules, and we must follow it. Post-visit activities. Post-visit activities are those things that take place once we've completed your visit and we've arrived back here in Tallahassee. The first item would be the thank you letters, as well as an evaluation survey. And generally, your team lead will provide a list of individuals that were very instrumental during that process, of whom we will provide thank you letters to, as well as a short evaluation survey that will basically summarize and help us with calculating our information internally for the end of the year processes. In regards to the monitoring report, once we arrive back to Tallahassee, within 20 days, your team or agency designee will receive a draft report within 20 days that will detail those items that we touched on earlier, and I'll also cover a few more in a future slide in regards to administration, financial policies, student perspectives, just to name a few. And once we send this to you, we ask that you provide any feedback or any suggested recommendations in a different color, and we will consider them for review. It's not guaranteed that we'll basically accept everything that you provide to us, but we would definitely review it and consider it for the final report. And from that point, we will start our initial review process internally. And from that point, it could take anywhere from a week up to 2 weeks of which you'll receive your final report. And in regards to resolution activities, if there were any findings during the course of the visit, and Gloria did touch on a little earlier in her segment, you will be notified of them prior to the exit. That way you'll have time to correct any findings. You know, if you can rectify any situation before the final report is done, we'd rather you do that. And the same for an action plan or general concerns. If not, in your final report, you will receive a summary throughout, actually at the end of the report, but throughout the report, in the various categories, it will touch on any findings and concerns that we encounter along the way. And once all of the concerns and findings have been resolved, it may be, we ideally we like to allow no more than a year, but sometimes there are things that arise that may cause it to extend a little longer than a year. But
if I can interject, Tashi, here, typically our findings do not extend beyond a year. It is not our desire. We usually try to close things out within about a 90-day process. I think when he mentioned years, sometimes when you have data issues, as you all know, many of our districts and colleges are transitioning to new data systems. Perhaps it carries over to a different fiscal year, but typically our closures are within about 90 days. So we try to target 90 days as our closure.
Thank you. And one thing we must mention, we are not auditors, we are monitors. I don't know how many times when we're out in the field, the auditors are here, the auditors are here. I wanted to make it a point just to say that we are not the ones that come in with the big bulky calculator. We are monitors. In other words, we are the eyes and the ears for the division. We are the ones that basically go out and verify, you know, what the students are doing and what's being implemented within the field.
And that's based on what you wrote and provided to us, either in your state plan, in your adult ed competitive application, any updates that you've sent to us, amendments regarding your application. And monitors are just there to review the implementation of the program in accordance with federal and or state laws. So we try, again, I reiterate a number of times that this is a collaborative visit. It should really be collegial and supportive of one another, making sure that we can come back and showcase the wonderful things that are going on at the local level.
We're now on slide 25. I touched on a few of the areas in regards to the compliance visit. There are a host of them, and before you are lists, administrative, data, learning environment, collaboration, just to name a few. And as mentioned, your final report, we will elaborate on these various areas for when we're out in the field. These are the areas that are our main focus. So the report that you will receive will focus on these various categories.
And I don't know if I've mentioned, neither Tashi mentioned, regarding our website and our tools that are out on our website. We have our comprehensive monitoring document on our website, and it pretty much summarizes these various areas. So you actually would be aware of, based on federal and our state statutes, that we're actually coming out to monitor. Some of the checklists that we use are also in that monitoring manual. We will not necessarily use all of those items that are in our policies and procedure manual, but that just gives you a good indication on some of the things that we may use. Oftentimes we've heard our locals say, oh, wow, that's a huge document. I can assure you, in the short amount of time that we're actually in the on-site evaluation phase, there's no way our limited staff could get through all of those particular protocols. But that's a general idea of the types of things that we would be reviewing and looking to validate while we're visiting your site.
And thank you. And we'll also ask in regards to that PP manual that you not complete it. We've gone to sites and we found out sometimes a provider will take the time and have someone complete that entire manual. We ask that you not do that. If anything, we'll just ask a few elements from it, and we don't want to monopolize your time that way. Slide 26. The following slides, you'll also see a few of the common findings that we often encounter while out in the field. But in the past, we focused a great deal on the access and equity component of the visit. But moving forward in the 2014-15 year, the Office of Equal Education Opportunity for School Districts and the Office of Equity and Civil Rights Compliance for Florida Colleges are now responsible for managing and overseeing any matters regarding access and equity. So we will, if we see any glaring issues while out in the field, We'll just make a note and just share them with them, but we will not devote a great amount of time in regards to the access and equity piece. Common findings continued. Still kind of touching on the non-discrimination findings, as well as safety and security. These issues and concerns are now covered or managed in a different area, so we will report the appropriate information when applicable. In regards to common findings, some few of the common findings involved that related to inventory findings, just in general, incomplete or lack of inventory for equipment, property not properly tagged. Transition pieces. What we found, too, oftentimes an agency will supply us with an inventory with a particular room number, but once we get there, it's in the room next door. We ask that if you do this, especially for the same program, that you use a transition form so that we can, the equipment inventory is accountable for and we know where it is exactly. Student records. Student records should be accessible to the compliance team. We ask that you be flexible and allow us to do whatever we need. We've gone a few places and we were not allowed to view records at all. And as, you know, monitors, we have the authority to view all records, and we ask that you just be flexible and accommodating when it comes to this issue. Common findings continued on procurement findings, lack of policies and procedures for contracting and or purchasing goods and services, just to name a few. Data reporting findings, lack of timely and accurate reporting of workforce development information system data. You know, we have workshops, you know, that are conducted throughout the year, and we ask that you attend these things, because if you attend them, you will basically gain and learn a lot of pertinent information used within the division and throughout the state.
Mm-hmm. If I may interject here as well, I know a couple of you on the call, Tara Goodman's office, as well as Tara McLarnon's office, work very, very closely with you all on your data reporting. They have actually sent out and instituted an outstanding process. It's a continuum from a process that we were doing here on the compliance side for data review and data validation. And they're working with some of our programs to make sure that if there are some data concerns or data findings, that you are on a corrective action plan through the, we call them Terra 1, Terra 2, office to make sure that those items are addressed. We work collaboratively here in Tallahassee, so we will be working with the Terras to make sure that if there are some items that they would like for us to review and validate while we are on site, we typically do that as well. We are working with them. They'll let us know when the corrective action plans are completed on the data side. As you are aware, there are a few that we're currently working with to make sure that any resubmissions of accurate data information is provided to us. So we strongly encourage you to pay close attention, especially to policies and procedures, data inventory and data submission, as well as the equipment side of the house.
Moving to slide 30. Common concerns. Concerns are generally concerns, and you know, you're not held to law with concerns, but they're just major things that are often glaring to our monitoring team. So if you could basically just be open to these concerns and implement them into your system, we will often find that your programs will run much smoother. A few concerns in regards to programs, they consist of significant contrast within single school environments. ESOLs, student needs more class time for practice. These are just a few things that the students share with us or things that we observe while in the field. Last-minute spending. This is a biggie. Oftentimes, a whole year kind of goes by, and we found out usually in April, March or April, that a big wish list kind of comes through. And ultimately, we want students to benefit. This is not a time for wish lists to kind of be submitted and different things kind of appear. We just ask that you be mindful and basically be mindful of your spending. Take great notes, use ledgers for tracking purposes to make sure that goods and services and any items that should be purchased are purchased within a timely fashion so that your students can benefit. Staff development plans, this is a big one. More and more individuals within the fields are starting to really understand the needs of staff development. we ask that you employ these things. It'll basically allow your program to run much smoother, especially if your employees can attend different ethics workshops, different trainings. In regards to ethics and diversity in particular, this is one that we've recently done here in our department. It helps and basically allows your program to run much smoother. Succession plans. Oftentimes when you have individuals who have been there for a number of years, if you don't cross-train or share that information with other individuals within the staff, once that valued employee leaves, that institutional knowledge leaves as well. So we ask that you plan for that in the future so that your programs will continue to run smoothly. Common concerns continued. Just a few outdated textbooks, lack of classroom supplies, lack of advisory committee. These are just a few things that we ask that you just be mindful of when you're conducting your programs throughout the year. Websites out of date. Oftentimes before we pay a visit to your agency, the website is very important to us. Oftentimes it contains a variety of policies and procedures that you may have within your agency, and oftentimes we will review these things before we come out. So we ask that you pay attention to your website to make sure that they're current and, more importantly, you know, they're accurate. Slide 32, monitoring reports. All of our monitoring reports here within the Division of Quality Assurance and Compliance are housed out on our website, and we've listed this link here for your viewing pleasure, and they are available for the 2008-2009 through current year.
I'll just add that you'll know that even our quality assurance manual is a fluid document. Each year we take a look at that document, and we really take great pride in reviewing some of the surveys that are provided from our providers as we conclude our visits to look at ways that we here at the department can have program improvement. So as you take a look at some of our closing reports from as far back as 08 to present, you'll notice how over the span of time we have implemented new sections, revised new sections, and fine-tuned our process. So we do strongly encourage and recommend that if there are any recommendations that you can provide to us to make this process run much smoother, we truly, truly appreciate your input.
We're now on slide 3. Before you, was just a list of contacts for our Division of Quality Assurance and Compliance. Earlier in the presentation, I showed you, I'll share with you a few of the slides of the leads within the Division of Compliance, Dr. Sharok Masoodi, Donna Waller, and myself, as well as Chancellor Rod Duckworth and Gloria Bradley Brown, who is our Bureau Chief and is present here today with us. Starting on slide 34, we provided for you a list of tools and resources that will be helpful just for your FYI to you, you know, for your program, so that you'll have some great resources and tools to help run your programs real smoothly. If you move to slide 35, just at the top here, you notice that we have one new item denoted in red, the Omni Super Circular, which will be coming July 1 of 2015, as well as our quality assurance policy. Procedures and protocols that we shared with you earlier that basically touches on all of the information and all the process used within our division in regards to the quality assurance and compliance process.
However, I will note this new guidance that's coming from Washington. It's not in effect now. Therefore, what we will be using as our guide and our monitoring documentation will be the EGGR, the OMB circulars, and things that you have been accustomed to using as you implemented your program in the 2012-2013 and current year. In future monitoring visits after the Super Circular and those guidance documents are out, then we will move forward with using those new documents. But we just put that on here so that you would be aware that there is a new document, and actually the effective date of the Omni Circular is December 26, 2014. However, our first federal award where that would be impact will be July 1 of 2015. So just note that the current documents that are in circulation would be our OMB circular and our EGGR documents that we all are accustomed to using.
This concludes our presentation, and at this time, well, we welcome your comments, any feedback, any general questions at this time.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell at Palm Beach State College. I'm inquiring at the bottom of slide 22. You say to have available on the first day governing board and advisory committees related documents. Now, we have a board of trustees that governs the entire college, and we also have business partnership councils that work in conjunction with our career-related programs. I'm wondering which you are referring to there, or both.
Actually, we're more concerned with those boards that are governing your career and technical ed programs. As you know, that is one of our components and requirements that we have advisory boards to help implement our career and technical ed programs.
Okay, so you don't care about the board of trustees for the entire college?
That is correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And again, we're specifically concerned about those programs that you have documented in your Caldy Perkins application that you are spending federal dollars. Not all programs at a college and or district use federal funds, in many cases, but not in all cases. And all we want to know is that, yes, you do have advisory committees. They do meet on a regular basis as in accordance with the requirements. That's all.
All right. Thank you.
The Genetic Information Act, in which way does that relate to employees or students or both?
It actually relates to both. However,
that's not the way I read the law, really. It talks about employment and it talks about health insurance.
Yes.
I'm wondering about the connection to students.
What we have done, and I think Tashi mentioned, we have an entire office now that is committed to evaluating that component of the law. So we have actually removed that process from our evaluation instrument. So during this visit, we will not in any way review or discuss anything related to Gina or any of those issues. We do have contact names at the college level and at the district level here in the department that are responsible through the federal program to evaluate those components. We wanted to mention that because we had it listed in our policies and procedure manual, but we will not be reviewing that nor discussing any of that during our visit.
Okay.
Are there any additional questions?
Records.
Yeah, what was the one about the records?
Yeah. This is Palm Beach State College again. I'm looking for it now. You mentioned on the first day you want access to records for the 3 years. And you list the types of records. You list student, finance, personnel, and data. What kind of student records are you looking at and what format? I mean, we have, you know, thousands of career and technical students. So I'm not sure, are you looking at a sampling or do you want just general access to databases? I'm not clear on that.
It will be a sampling, usually 5 to 10, and oftentimes this is done at a computer.
Okay.
So you won't have to supply any paper records. We'll tell you. Usually there's a data person that's usually nearby that we can sit with and we can kind of tell them, you know, what we want to see and kind of walk through that process. Usually very thorough and fairly short process, but there's no paper that you would have to pull for that.
Okay. As far as finance and personnel then, similar there or?
Yes.
Okay.
Primarily relate to your time and effort reports. Your personnel activity reports, as well as certifications, as related to the grant.
For example, the first thing we would probably ask you for would be a list of all personnel charged to the federal program, whether it's 100%, and or split fund. From that list, we'll probably say, okay, from this list, we'll give you a sample. We would like to see backup records for this number of employees, And what we'll be looking to ensure, if they're split funded, that there's adequate documentation to delineate their time and effort, or if it's 100% funding, that you've done the certifications that, validate that that person is 100% charged to the federal program. In many cases, some of these things are electronic. In some cases, you may have a hard copy file when an employee has to sign and or supervisor would have to sign. So that's what we're looking for. You want to see your policies and procedures regarding how you charge time and effort. Then we want to see that you have followed your policy procedures in regards to the federal program.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any additional questions? There are no additional questions. This will conclude our presentation.
At any time, feel free to give us a call here at the department if you have any questions. And as Tashi mentioned earlier, you will have several conversations with your DOE lead. Thank you.